In the meantime, a new political awareness matured in him, and thus, in October 1944, L'Humanité announced on its front page that Picasso had joined the French Communist Party, PCF, which then had more than 800,000 adherents. "I was in such a hurry to find a homeland again," the artist declared to the newspaper, which was the party's official press organ until 1994. "I was always an exile. Now I am one no more." While waiting for Spain finally to welcome me, the party has welcomed me with open arms, and I am once again among my brothers. L'Humanité, 30th of October, 1944. This choice was also a confession. He joined to declare officially his status as a foreigner. If Picasso aligns himself here with the communist cause, it is because he realized that this adhesion could be several things, a protective shield and a passport. It is, in short, as if he had found a new refuge and home. In 1948, the Paris police prefect granted the artist the administrative status of privileged resident. However, in 1955, Picasso left the capital and chose the south of France as his official residence. In Antibes, Golfe Juan, Cannes, Vauvenargues and Mougins, he worked hard in full awareness of the choice he had made, the south against the north, the provinces against Paris, the artisans against the Académie des Beaux-Arts. In 1949, a dove appears. A lithograph that was noticed in the artist's studio by Louis Aragon, poet and member of the French Communist Party. Aragon had visited Picasso to ask him for a poster for the Peace Congress that was to open in Paris in April 1949. The poster became known as the Dove of Peace, and millions of copies were distributed worldwide. A curious thing is that, if we look at Picasso's earlier production, his animals are never peaceful. We need only think of Guernica and his bulls. The artist, therefore, who had always had caged birds at home, pointed out that doves are bellicose birds, and it seemed strange to him that they could be used as a symbol of peace. However, he agreed to have it adopted as a symbol of the peace movement in which he believed at the time. François Hartog has astutely observed that by the time the war came, Picasso had probably reached the end of his cubist experiments with pasted-on sheets. Unable to renounce figuration, he could go no further down the path of abstraction. To his friend Éluard Pignon, who remarked that Picasso had merely crossed over into cubism as a means and that he immediately abandoned it, he replied, "Yes, but I could have been killed by it. The same thing would have happened, though, if I had stayed in it." After the war, he looked for new elements. Picasso's first visit to Valoris was in July 1946. There, in Madura's workshop, Suzanne Rémier introduced him to the 11 traditional ways of firing and glazing clay. A new phase in his life and work began. Now, living in this village of potters, Picasso established himself as a master potter, exploring the history of the medium, but always in his iconoclast manner. The apprentice became the spiritual guide of this group of craftsmen, to whom he dedicated the political fresco La Guerre et la Paix for the medieval chapel. Grande Chèvre, Bouteille et Bougie is a bronze resulting from the juxtaposition of various objects. The handlebar of a bicycle forms the horns of the goat, the bolts the eyes, while the nails represent the light of the candle. The choice of these poor objects recovered from the rubbish dump gave rise to an assemblage technique that was always very congenial to him, and that in these years away from Cubism brought him back, in a way, to his favoured early revolution of forms.